John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is referred to by different names in the Bible: Messiah, Son of God, Son of Man, Living Water, Bread of Life, Savior, Lord, King, and there are more. Jesus, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. This passage in John's Gospel also names Jesus as light, the light that shines in the darkness, the light that darkness cannot overcome, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Jesus Christ, God, came to earth in the flesh. The Word became flesh. And I want to explain that the message title for this morning, Incarnation Fully Human, doesn't present the complete picture. And in a few weeks, I'll preach again. My name's Paul, by the way, if you haven't met me. And the title will be Incarnation Fully God. Because the reality, the fullness of the incarnation of Jesus Christ is that Jesus comes into our world fully human and fully God. Fully human, fully God. How can we even attempt to grasp this reality? Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Psalm 113, verses 5 and 6. Who is like the Lord our God? The one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. Who is like the Lord our God? There is no one, no other being, nothing is like the Lord our God. My human father, John Byron Richards, served as a pastor and then a theological professor. And my dad is with Jesus. He died shortly after I turned 30. And I remember many things about my dad. One thing was that he was a captivating storyteller. And especially during the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, really any time though, he would tell these stories. And like technically they were jokes, but it was the storytelling element that drew you in, not the punchline, as you'll soon experience. He would tell these same stories or jokes year after year. Get the picture? But now for me, they are a delightful memory of him. So I'm going to tell you one this morning, but I'm going to make it way shorter. Like Dad would elaborate. But I'll keep it short and sweet. So this is the tale of the lion, king of the jungle. And by the way, this story may or may not be scientifically accurate. Just please put all that aside for now. And the lion approached the mighty elephant, and he said, "I'm the king of the jungle. Why aren't you big and strong like I am?" And then the elephant got scared and ran away. And then the lion went over to the mighty hippo and said, "I'm the king of the jungle. Why aren't you big and strong like I am?" Then the hippo got scared and ran away. And then the lion went over to a teeny tiny mouse. He towered above the mouse. And he said, "I'm the king of the jungle. Why aren't you big and strong like I am?" And the mouse looked right at him and said, "Well, you see, sir, I've been sick." Okay, a little bit of a laugh. Thank you. Now, I admire the mouse's boldness, but we can see that the mouse's perspective was limited, in many ways inaccurate. The mouse somehow thought that, except for a recent illness, he somehow could be compared to a lion. And when we come into the presence of Almighty God, analogy falls short. Our language falls short. Our understanding falls short. God is both revelation and mystery. And I believe that as we celebrate the beauty and glory of the revelation, and there is great revelation, including the truth that Jesus is alive. As we celebrate God's revelation, there's also a need to humble our hearts, to acknowledge, to kneel before God's mystery. Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We humbly bow before the mystery of the incarnation, yet we also rejoice at the revelation of the incarnation. We have seen God's glory in the person of Jesus Christ. The Father sent the Son, God with us. Jesus, fully God, lived an actual human life. He was born into a particular human family at a particular time in history, impacting history. Jesus, absolutely, fully human. And the incarnation of Jesus has made God known to us, to humans, in ways that are tangible and concrete. Jesus lived a human life. It's more than knowledge or understanding. Jesus actually experienced what it's like to be human. Our faith is based on the reality of Jesus here on earth. God with us. The Word became flesh. God breathing. God living. God dying. This is Jesus. And as we wrestle with the reality of Jesus being both fully human and fully God, we do acknowledge the mystery. But we also realize that in and through the Holy Spirit, with faithfulness to the witness of Scripture, we can avoid errors in our thinking, in our understanding. So again, let me emphasize that the incarnation of Jesus is a both and. The incarnate Jesus is both fully human and fully God. And the concept of fully really matters. It's not that Jesus is somehow a being that is part God and part human. No, that's error. And it's not that the nature of God and the nature of humanity somehow mix in Jesus and become a third thing. That is also error. And it's not that Jesus had different modes, that sometimes he did things as a human, sometimes he did things as God, and he went back and forth between the two. No, that is also error. The birth of Christ that we celebrate at Christmas was a human birth and a divine birth. The life Jesus lived on earth was fully human and fully divine. Jesus, fully human, fully God. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to expand our understanding and our experience of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, moving us away from less into more. To see and experience Jesus for all that he is. Jesus is not less than God. He is God. And Jesus didn't live something less than a human life. He lived a human life. Jesus has experienced our humanity. He has experienced it fully, and that matters. Let's look at the humanity of Jesus and the significance of this truth for our lives today. Jesus was born into a human family. He was the son of Joseph and Mary. And if you want to learn about Jesus' ancestry, just go to ancestry.ca. No, I'm kidding. You can actually read the Bible. There's two genealogies about the human ancestry of Jesus, one in Matthew, one in Luke. And Jesus grew up in a real family with brothers, sisters, neighbors. And it wasn't always neat and tidy. Just look at Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, to see how Jesus was treated in his own hometown as a grown-up. God is all about specifics. Beth Felker Jones, in her book, Practicing Christian Doctrine, puts it this way. God's love for us is not some idealized longing for a sanitized universal idea of humanity. It is real love for real people. People of all kinds, from every corner of the planet, a love concrete enough to become incarnate, to extend to and embrace race and gender, context and culture, fingers and toes, both Jesus's and ours. Jesus experienced the frailty of being human. Infinite God, without limits, the Creator of heaven and earth, coming to earth and being restricted to the limitations of human existence. Why? So that you and I could know with clarity and certainty that God loves you, so that you could experience God's love and God's life. John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In the incarnation of Jesus, God has revealed himself, Emmanuel, God with us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus walked on this earth. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus grew up in Nazareth, raised by Joseph and Mary. Jesus lived an adult life on earth, teaching, healing, raising the dead, forgiving sins. Jesus faced opposition. Jesus was handed over to be crucified by the Roman governor Pilate. Jesus died on the cross. And Jesus rose from the dead. The incarnation of Jesus Christ challenges us. Perhaps this is not God as we expected. Perhaps this is not God as we see fitting. In Jesus, we see that God is not a theoretical concept. We see that God is not a construct of our imagination, nor a product of our mind. In Jesus, we see that God is a bloodied and beaten man dying on a cross. And when we see this, truly see this, what will be our response? And because Jesus experienced human life on earth, you can know, you can be certain that he understands you. He gets it. Jesus knows what it's like to be tired, to be hungry, to experience family tension, to be rejected by other humans, to experience human sorrow, pain, suffering. Jesus knows what it's like. Jesus also knows what it's like to be part of human celebrations, to experience friendship, fellowship. Jesus understands. He understands the full human experience because he lived it. And Jesus loves you, the exact person you are, with all your specifics, with all your doubts and uncertainties, with all your hopes and dreams. Jesus loves you. He loves you. I'm going to make a suggestion for this Advent and Christmas season, and you don't have to do this. It's just an idea, and please test it and weigh it. Perhaps you haven't heard very much about God or Jesus, and maybe this is all brand new and it seems a little weird. Or maybe you've heard a lot about God, about Jesus. You've heard it many times. Maybe you're thinking too many times, and you're stuck. You understand the message, but it hasn't gotten to your heart. Maybe I haven't described you, yet God will speak to you. My idea is to start with your heart. This Advent, this Christmas, start with your heart. Open it up, even just a little bit. You can say, Jesus, I give you permission to interact with my heart. I don't know if I'm fully there yet, but I'm willing to give you the opportunity. I'm going to let down my guard. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to see what you'll do. I'm open. I'm ready for something different, something new. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we bow before you. We realize that there aren't enough words. There isn't the full language to describe completely who you are. And yet, we thank you so much that you made it clear and concrete. Heavenly Father, that through your Son, Jesus, you came to earth so that we could know you, so that we could know God, so that we could experience life as you've intended it to be. Heavenly Father, we ask you to open hearts. Open hearts. Draw us closer to you. Thank you that you're so gentle. You're so patient and kind, loving. We praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.